Our series, In the Meantime, this morning we are going to be talking specifically about what to do when there's nothing you can do. When you've run out of all human options. But the problem is still very visible. From meditation this morning, I want you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. And you know, we have been made to understand, especially as church folks, those of us who've been trying to do the right thing, that good things shouldn't happen, a bad thing shouldn't happen to good, godly people. But you know, that is not always the case. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I would like to encourage you at some point to take some time to look and kind of study the life of this king that we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, Jehoshaphat. Very, very interesting character. After this, the Moabites, with some of the Mennonites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Now, this was a godly, good king. But the enemies decided that they were going to try to do him in. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat what was going on. Said, a vast army is coming against you at Edom from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazeron. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat was a king, a politician, a businessman, a general of his own army, but he proclaimed a fast for the entire nation. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name. In essence, these are good people doing good things, following your dictates. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men of Ammon, Moab, Matzeah, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came out of Jordan, out of Egypt. In essence, he's saying, if you'd allow us to do that back then, we would not have been faced with what we are faced with today. So you see the shift now. Lord, I mean, you fell asleep on the job, is what he's implying. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jeiel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who lived in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them." Verse 18, for the sake of time, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Father, we thank you today for your presence here with us. Thank you for reminding us of the fact that we are never alone. So we just pray that as we assess our own situation, that you would speak to us in a very personal and private way today. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. What do you do when there is nothing you can do? What do you do when you have a problem that seems to have absolutely no solution? When your circumstances are so challenged or challenging that there's no way forward and out of it? When you have questions without answers, your job, like we said before, your marriage, your health, or even you feel as though your own life is stuck. You are miles away from the ideal without any good options. Now, during times like these, many of us, we are tempted to run, to complain, or to simply give up. We are tempted to give in to resentment and anger, sometimes even towards God. Now, I know it's hard for us to admit that, but that is how we feel sometimes. I've been a good person. Jehoshaphat said, "I've been a good king." For many of you, you've been a good Christ follower. Not perfect, but you've been doing a whole lot of things right. You don't miss your prayer time. You don't miss an opportunity to help those that are in distress. You show up as often as your schedule would permit it to worship, or you worship in your private time. And so when the bottom falls out, you feel some resentment even towards God. And that's because when life gets hard, often, sometimes, it feels as though God is absent, or he's angry at us, or he's just apathetic. And so what do you do when life removes all of your options? In our text, we find King Jehoshaphat at a place in his life where he did not know what to do. And history tells us that he was the fourth king in this divided kingdom of Solomon. You know, the nation divided, and you had Israel and Judah. Well, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and he was not only a good king, like I said before, but he was a godly king, which was not the norm in his day. Even today, it's hard to find people in the secular sector of life that can balance the secular and the spiritual. Well, Jehoshaphat had a handle on it, and he was able to do it with some degree of success. For he was such a God-focused king that he made sure that all the people were given an opportunity to study the laws of God. He made it mandatory. It was legislated, and he appointed officers to go into every single town to teach the law to the people. So, when the House of Assembly met, Jehoshaphat made sure that the Bible was the center of their discussion. When university campuses convened their classes after the summer break, theology was a part of the curriculum. That's how committed this man was to the Lord. He was indeed a good role model for the nation, yet he found himself in an unenviable position, his back against the proverbial wall. And I've just described some of us even in this place. We've been doing a whole lot of things good, but things have still gone contrary. So what do we do when you don't have a clue as to what you should do? I would like to give three brief suggestions this morning, because like we say, we are just launching the study. If you want to know the whole story, you have to come now for the next 5 weeks. But what do we do? Well, firstly, if we are going to follow Jehoshaphat's example, we must seek the face of God. Now, that sounds simple, unsophisticated, so mundane, that can't be the answer. But if we examine the text, the Bible says Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, in the house of the Lord, and he said, O Lord God of my fathers, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. God does not slumber. God does not sleep. He is aware of what's going on in your life every second of every single day. And so when you feel helpless and hopeless, seek his face. And you know, we call it prayer. But you know what it does, prayer? It reminds us of the fact that God is sovereign. Regardless of what you are up against, God is sovereign. We had three very powerful nations coming up against Judah. And in the natural realm, Judah was no match for them at all. They had superior skills, superior weapons, superior numbers, superior resources. And Jehoshaphat knew that the answer was not, let me kind of outfit my guys with more guns and send them out. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. Prayer reminds us of the sovereignty of God. Now, you know, some sectors of society, people got hard mouth. You listen to Mr. Donald Trump sometimes? He has an answer for every question, a solution for every issue. If he sits in the White House, he says he's going to destroy whomever comes against him. Yeah, the Mexicans, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Indonesians. And he's all powerful in his own head, though. There's one sovereign power on the face of the universe, and that is the sovereign God of the universe. And so in your time of trouble, be reminded of the fact that he is sovereign. And your problem is not beyond his capacity to deal with it. And I want you to take that literally this morning. Secondly, prayer helps us to recall God's grace. You know, sometimes when we pause long enough to recognize that, boy, you know, something or someone is responsible for bringing me to where I am. And it's the grace of God. It's not because you've been exceptionally skilled or exceptionally good. His grace. And you know what? Grace is God's unmerited favor. You can't earn it. God has been extremely, extremely gracious. And so when we seek his face, we're reminded of his sovereign power. We're reminded of his grace. And thirdly, prayer reassures us of God's promises. When you sit in his presence long enough, you know, and you think about all the things he has promised you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I have your back in every situation. I'm going to give you some things that you, good things that you haven't earned. So prayer reassures us of God's promises. And sometimes when you are down and out and you don't have anywhere to turn or anybody to turn to, think about the fact that God has given you some assurances. And he simply says, one writer says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never. A God's seed begging bread. So if you got your pink slip on Friday, the person who gave you your pink slip is not sovereign. They're like Trump, they have limitations. God is still able to open doors for you on Monday. So you don't surrender to hopelessness. Not only should we seek the face of God, but Josiah reminds us that we should stay focused. He says, we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. He's admitting we don't have the answer. It would be foolish of us to think that we can fight against a force that is 10 times as powerful as we are. We have no might to do it. We do not know what to do. And this is the king. The entire nation was looking to him for answers. And the king is saying, I know what to do. Now, in my humble opinion, that is time to panic. Some years ago, we were in Nashville, Tennessee, I believe it was, Tennessee. And my son and I, we wanted to have a father-son evening out, so we left his mom in the hotel room, taking a nap, and we decided that we were going to go to a baseball game. I was the driver. And usually when I get to the U.S., there's just a spirit of slumber that comes all over me. And so I was having to give my wife the wheel. But this day I decided that we're going to leave her at home and we're going to go to this baseball game. So we venture off from the hotel in daylight. Went to the baseball park that was about two blocks away in daylight. But the game was so exciting that they played extra inning. And so when we left the stadium that night, it was dark. And I was the driver. And I could see the hotel light from a distance, but I couldn't find the path. And so a ride that should have taken 7 to 8 minutes, we started circling for 20 minutes and 25 minutes and 30 minutes. And so my son looked at me and he says, Daddy, are we lost? And in essence, he was saying, you're the driver. If you don't know what's going on, what's next? And I could see the panic. But I didn't know what to do. And I believe the Lord stepped in and took the wheel from me. But sometimes the people that we are looking to for direction, for advice, for support, for hope, they find themselves in a situation where they ain't nowhere to turn either. You come to church every Sunday and you expect the pastor to have a word from the Lord. Every week, you want to hear a word from the Lord. But some of us, as pastors and preachers and priests and kings, we have to be honest enough to say sometimes, we just don't know either what to do. And to simply say to you, you better seek his face. And once you get settled, you got to stay focused. Josiah says, we have no might to stand, but there's one thing we are capable of doing. We are capable of focusing specifically on you. And you know, in order to do that, you have to eliminate some distractions. You remember the story Jesus we have in the New Testament. Jesus told his disciples, let's go over to the other side. They got a command from Jesus to go over to the other side. They were obeying the Lord when they decided to go over to the other side. Halfway through the journey, it was a tremendous storm. And they decided to panic. And here was the deal. Jesus was at the bottom of the boat, sound asleep, and these guys are getting ready to cut their wrists. And they simply said, well, Master, careth not that we perish. Why are you asleep when we are hurting? Another time they saw him coming toward them, and he simply said to the disciples, trust me. And you remember the story. Peter got out of the boat and he started to walk toward Jesus. And he was making good progress. He was doing the supernatural. And guess what? He was distracted. And he started to look at the waves. And the Bible says he began to sink. When we are confronted with troublesome times, instead of staying focused on Jesus and the promises that he gives us, we are tempted to look at the size of our problems. You know, the doctor just gave us a report. But the last time I checked, Jesus says he is the great physician. The bank just told us that they're foreclosing. But the last time I checked, the psalmist says, he is the great provider, Jehovah Jireh. The spouse just tells you, I'm going and I'm not coming back. But the last time we checked, the Bible says he stands closer than a brother. He has promised never to leave you or forsake you. But you got to stay focus. Stay focused on God's plan for your life. You remember the promise he gives in Jeremiah 29? For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. Stay focused on God's plan. Stay focused on God's power. Do not be afraid or discouraged, verse 15 of the text, because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, has God ever lost a battle? You know, sometimes in a fight, it may appear as though he's losing a couple of rounds. But if you hang around long enough for the end of the game, you'll see a tremendous difference. A few weeks ago, again, my son and I, you know, we are both baseball fans. So we decided to go to a baseball game at the Marlin Stadium. And, you know, Marlins are close to home, so we decided we're going to pull for the Miami Marlins. In the first inning, the opposing team got 7 runs. By the fifth inning, people were kind of packing up their bags and leaving. That this is a waste of time and money. By the seventh inning, the opposing team got 2 more runs. So it's 9 zip and only 2 innings left. And I said to him, well, you better let's beat this traffic because we have to go all the way back. No, let's wait and see what the end is going to be. And true to form, in the 8th and 9th inning, the Marlins pulled things together. And because we stayed for the very last inning, our team won. Listen, when it comes to God engaging in these contests, it may appear after inning number 1 that you're on the losing side. And number 2, 3, 4, sometimes halfway through the 9th inning, it may appear that you're on the losing side. But if God is in the vessel, if he's on your team, I don't mind what they're saying to you. I don't mind what kind of report you got. If God is on your team, everything is going to be all right. So stay focused on God's power. And thirdly, focus on the fact that he has and you have a personal relationship with him. And this floors me every time I think about it. The fact that on a planet with 6 billion people, yet God is saying to you, you are my friend. You are my son. You are my daughter. We can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. What a privilege. And thirdly this morning, not only should we seek his face, focus on his plan for our lives, his power, and the personal relationship that we enjoy, but we can follow Jehoshaphat and settle for a favorable outcome. Verses 18 through 22 of the text, we're reminded again in verse 20 that the battle is the Lord's. It says, have faith in the Lord, and you will be withheld. That was the word that Jehoshaphat stood on. Have faith in the Lord, and you will be withheld. Settle for a favorable outcome. The Lord, the battle is the Lord's. It's not your fight. The outcome, if you are on God's side, is very predictable. The Lord, in verse 27, the Bible says, the Lord gave them cause to rejoice over their enemies. And if you would follow the story, they did not fire one shot. As a matter of fact, you know what happened? Jehoshaphat simply said to the people, listen, I want you to rehearse a couple of hymns. Our God is awesome. So he told them to practice that one. And although he had three nations that were well armed coming up against this ragtag army that he had, the army of Judah, you know what they did? They didn't carry guns and weapons. They carried hymn books and song sheets. And they went to battle singing praises to Jehovah and praying and shouting. And it confused the adversary until the opposing three armies turned on each other. And they started killing each other. And all of God's people started to do was shout and dance in the power of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the day, they picked up the spoils. But they had to come to grips with the fact that they did not win the battle. It was the Lord that did it for them. And so, my brothers and sisters, this fight is not your fight. Your commitment is to simply stay focused, seek the face of God, and settle for God's outcome and every blessed thing. I don't mind what the critics say to you. I don't mind what they tell you how the odds are stacked against you. You and God, you're the majority. And I don't mind how far behind you are in the race. It's not for the swiftest, not for the strongest, but it's for the faithful souls that are prepared to just exercise simple, childlike faith. That's what this is about. This is not complicated. This is just as simple as one and one is two. And listen, just like he did it for Jehoshaphat, hundreds, thousands of years ago, God will do it for you in 2015, the 13th day of September at 10:55. Now, Jehoshaphat exercised a little faith. And as we conclude our time together this morning, I'm going to encourage you to exercise a little faith. The Bible says he called a national prayer meeting and he challenged the people to pray and fast. I don't know what is your situation today. I don't know what pitch you are in this morning. I don't know how far your back is against the wall, but God does. I don't know how many forces are coming against you from every single avenue, but God does. And like Jehoshaphat, all you have to do is to call out to him. Express some faith in him, and he will turn your situation around. As the team comes to lead us in a closing number, and as our pastors and elders come to pray with us, I'm going to invite you to stand. And if the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart and speaking to you about your situation, regardless of what it is, do not hesitate. Jehoshaphat was a king, a leader, a world-renowned figure. But when the chips were down, he didn't hesitate to simply throw himself on the Lord and simply says, Lord, I need you. He didn't care what the Ammonites thought about him. Call him this and that, or look at what he's doing. Praying is a sign of weakness to some people, you know. Faith is a sign of surrender to some folks. But Jehoshaphat said, I don't have a thing to prove to anybody. I simply want to please the Lord and to cast all my cares upon him. And if that is your situation this morning, I want to challenge you to exercise enough faith to get out of your seat. come and stand with one of our leaders today. Let's pray and ask God to undergird us with what we need to face these difficult, challenging moments.